This is the reading for June 10th, Job chapter 11. Then Zophar the Naamathite answered, "Should these words go unanswered? Is this talker in the right? Your lies do not make people quiet. People should correct you when you make fun of God. You say, 'My teachings are right, and I am clean in God's sight.' I wish God would speak and open his lips against you and tell you the secrets of wisdom, because wisdom has two sides. Know this, God has even forgotten some of your sin. Can you understand the secrets of God? Can you search the limits of the Almighty? His limits are higher than the heavens. You cannot reach them. They are deeper than the grave. You cannot understand them. His limits are longer than the earth and wider than the sea. If God comes along and puts you in prison or calls you into court, no one can stop him. God knows who is evil, and when he sees evil, he takes note of it. A fool cannot become wise any more than a wild donkey can be born tame. You must give your whole heart to him and hold out your hands to him for help. Put away the sin that is in your hand. Let no evil remain in your tent. Then you can lift up your face without shame, and you can stand strong without fear. You will forget your trouble, and darkness will seem like morning. Your life will be as bright as the noonday sun, and darkness will seem like morning. You will feel safe because there is hope. You will look around and rest in safety. You will lie down, and no one will scare you. Many people will want favors from you, but the wicked will not be able to see, so they will not escape. Their only hope will be to die." 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was honored by his master, and he had much respect because the Lord used him to give victory to Aram. He was a mighty and brave man, but he had a skin disease. The Arameans had gone out to raid the Israelites and had taken a little girl as a captive. This little girl served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "I wish my master would meet the prophet who lives in Samaria. He would cure him of his disease." Naaman went to the king and told him what the girl from Israel had said. The king of Aram said, "Go ahead, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left and took with him about 750 pounds of silver, as well as 150 pounds of gold and 10 changes of clothes. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "I am sending my servant Naaman to you so you can heal him of his skin disease." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes to show how upset he was. He said, "I'm not God. I can't kill and make alive again. Why does this man send someone with a skin disease for me to heal? You can see that the king of Aram is trying to start trouble with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent the king this message, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let Naaman come to me. Then he will know there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots to Elisha's house and stood outside the door. Elisha sent Naaman a messenger who said, "Go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. Then your skin will be healed and you will be clean." Naaman became angry and left. He said, "I thought Elisha would surely come out and stand before me and call on the name of the Lord his God. I thought he would wave his hand over the place and heal the disease. The Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, are better than all the waters of Israel. Why can't I wash in them and become clean?" So Naaman went away, very angry. Naaman's servants came near and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, wouldn't you have done it? Doesn't it make more sense just to do it? After all, he only told you, 'Wash and you will be clean.'" So Naaman went down and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, just as Elisha had said. Then his skin became new again, like the skin of a child, and he was clean. Naaman and all his group returned to Elisha. He stood before Elisha and said, "Look, I now know there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now please accept a gift from me." But Elisha said, "As surely as the Lord lives, whom I serve, I won't accept anything." Naaman urged him to take the gift, but he refused. Then Naaman said, "If you won't take the gift, then please give me some soil, as much as 2 of my mules can carry. From now on, I'll not offer any burnt offering or sacrifice to any other gods but the Lord. But let the Lord pardon me for this. When my master goes into the temple of Ramon to worship, he leans on my arm. Then I must bow in that temple. May the Lord pardon me when I do that." Elisha said to him, "Go in peace." Naaman left Elisha and went a short way. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, thought, "My master has not accepted what Naaman the Aramean brought. As surely as the Lord lives, I'll run after him and get something from him." So Gehazi went after Naaman. When Naaman saw someone running after him, he got off the chariot to meet Gehazi. He asked, "Is everything all right?" Gehazi said, "Everything is all right. My master has sent me." He said, "Two young men from the groups of prophets in the mountains of Ephraim just came to me. Please give them 75 pounds of silver and 2 changes of clothes." Naaman said, "Please take 150 pounds, and he urged Gehazi to take it. He tied 150 pounds of silver in 2 bags with 2 changes of clothes. Then he gave them to 2 of his servants to carry for Gehazi. When they came to the hill, Gehazi took these things from Naaman's servants and put them in the house. Then he let Naaman's servants go, and they left. When he came in and stood before his master, Elisha said to him, "Where have you been, Gehazi?" "I didn't go anywhere," he answered. But Elisha said to him, "My spirit was with you. I knew when the man turned from his chariot to meet you. This isn't a time to take money, clothes, olives, grapes, sheep, oxen, male servants, or female servants. So Naaman's skin disease will come on you and your children forever." When Gehazi left Elisha, he had the disease and was as white as snow. 2 Kings chapter 6. The groups of prophets said to Elisha, "The place where we meet with you is too small for us. Let's go to the Jordan River. There everyone can get a log, and let's build a place there to live." Elisha said, "Go." One of them said, "Please go with us." Elisha answered, "I will go." So he went with them. When they arrived at the Jordan, they cut down some trees. As one man was cutting down a tree, the head of his axe fell into the water. He yelled, "Oh, my master, I borrowed that axe." Elisha asked, "Where did it fall?" The man showed him the place. Then Elisha cut down a stick and threw it into the water, and it made the iron head float. Elisha said, "Pick up the axe head." Then the man reached out and took it. The king of Aram was at war with Israel. He had a council meeting with his officers and said, "I will set up my camp in this place." Elisha, the man of God, sent a message to the king of Israel saying, "Be careful, don't pass that place because the Arameans are going down there." The king of Israel checked the place about which Elisha had warned him. Elisha warned him several times, so the king protected himself there. The king of Aram was angry about this. He called his officers together and demanded, "Tell me, who of us is working for the king of Israel?" One of the officers said, "None, my master and king. It's Elisha, the prophet from Israel. He can tell you what you speak in your bedroom." The king said, "Go and find him, so I can send men and catch him." The servants came back and reported, "He is in Dothan." Then the king sent horses, chariots, and many troops to Dothan. They arrived at night and surrounded the city. Elisha's servant got up early, and when he went out, he saw an army with horses and chariots all around the city. The servant said to Elisha, "Oh, my master, what can we do?" Elisha said, "Don't be afraid. The army that fights for us is larger than the one against us." Then Elisha prayed, "Lord, open my servant's eyes and let him see." The Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward Elisha, he prayed to the Lord, "Make these people blind." So he made the Aramean army blind, as Elisha had asked. Elisha said to them, "This is not the right road or the right city. Follow me, and I'll take you to the man you are looking for." Then Elisha led them to Samaria. After they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "Lord, open these men's eyes so they can see." So the Lord opened their eyes, and the Aramean army saw that they were inside the city of Samaria. When the king of Israel saw the Aramean army, he said to Elisha, "My father, should I kill them? Should I kill them?" Elisha answered, "Don't kill them. You wouldn't kill people whom you captured with your sword and bow. Give them food and water, and let them eat and drink, and then go home to their master." So he prepared a great feast for the Aramean army. After they ate and drank, the king sent them away, and they went home to their master. The soldiers of Aram did not come any more into the land of Israel. Later, Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, gathered his whole army and surrounded and attacked Samaria. There was a shortage of food in Samaria. It was so bad that a donkey's head sold for about 2 pounds of silver, and half of a pint of dove's dung sold for about 2 ounces of silver. As the king of Israel was passing by on the wall, a woman yelled out to him, "Help me, my master and king." The king said, "If the Lord doesn't help you, how can I? Can I get help from the threshing floor or from the wine press?" Then the king said to her, "What is your trouble?" She answered, "This woman said to me, 'Give up your son so we can eat him today. Then we will eat my son tomorrow.' So we boiled my son and ate him. Then the next day I said to her, 'Give up your son so we can eat him,' but she had hidden him." When the king heard the woman's words, he tore his clothes in grief. As he walked along the wall, the people looked and saw he had on rough cloth under his clothes to show his sadness. He said, "May God punish me terribly if the head of Elisha, son of Shaphat, isn't cut off from his body today." The king sent a messenger to Elisha, who was sitting in his house with the older leaders. But before the messenger arrived, Elisha said to them, "See, this murderer is sending men to cut off my head. When the messenger arrives, shut the door and hold it. Don't let him in. The sound of his master's feet is behind him." Elisha was still talking with the leaders when the messenger arrived. The king said, "This trouble has come from the Lord. Why should I wait for the Lord any longer?"
Chapter 19.
Then Pilate had Jesus taken away and whipped. The soldiers twisted some thorny branches into a crown, placed it on his head, and put a purple cape on him. They went up to him, said, "Long live the King of the Jews," and slapped his face. Pilate went outside again and told the Jews, "I'm bringing him out to you to let you know that I don't find this man guilty of anything." Jesus went outside. He was wearing the crown of thorns and the purple cape. Pilate said to the Jews, "Look, here's the man." When the chief priests and the guards saw Jesus, they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate told them, "You take him and crucify him. I don't find this man guilty of anything." The Jews answered Pilate, "We have a law, and by that law he must die because he claimed to be the Son of God." When Pilate heard them say that, he became more afraid than ever. He went into the palace again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus didn't answer him. So Pilate said to Jesus, "Aren't you going to answer me? Don't you know that I have the authority to free you or to crucify you?" Jesus answered Pilate, "You wouldn't have any authority over me if it hadn't been given to you from above. That's why the man who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin." When Pilate heard what Jesus said, he wanted to free him. But the Jews shouted, "If you free this man, you're not a friend of the emperor. Anyone who claims to be a king is defying the emperor." When Pilate heard what they said, he took Jesus outside and sat on the judge's seat in a place called Stone Pavement. In Hebrew, it's called Gabbatha. The time was about 6 o'clock in the morning on the Friday of the Passover festival. Pilate said to the Jews, "Look, here's your king." Then the Jews shouted, "Kill him, kill him, crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Should I crucify your king?" The chief priests responded, "The emperor is the only king we have." Then Pilate handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. So the soldiers took Jesus. He carried his own cross and went out of the city to a location called the Skull. In Hebrew, this place is called Golgotha. The soldiers crucified Jesus and two other men there. Jesus was in the middle. Pilate wrote a notice and put it on the cross. The notice read, "Jesus from Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many Jews read this notice because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. The notice was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jewish people told Pilate, "Don't write the King of the Jews. Instead write, 'He said that he is the King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "I have written what I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them four ways so that each soldier could have a share. His robe was left over. It didn't have a seam because it had been woven in one piece from top to bottom. The soldiers said to each other, "Let's not rip it apart. Let's throw dice to see who will get it." In this way, the scripture came true. "They divided my clothes among themselves. They threw dice for my clothing." So that's what the soldiers did. Jesus' mother, her sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary from Magdala were standing beside Jesus' cross. Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing there. He said to his mother, "Look, here's your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Look, here's your mother." From that time on, she lived with that disciple in his home. After this, when Jesus knew that everything had now been finished, he said, "I'm thirsty." He said this so that the scripture could finally be concluded. A jar filled with vinegar was there. So the soldiers put a sponge soaked in the vinegar on a hyssop stick and held it to his mouth. After Jesus had taken the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." Then he bowed his head and died. Since it was Friday and the next day was an especially important day of worship, the Jews didn't want the bodies to stay on the crosses. So they asked Pilate to have the men's legs broken and their bodies removed. The soldiers broke the legs of the first man and then of the other man who had been crucified with Jesus. When the soldiers came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they didn't break his legs. However, one of the soldiers stabbed Jesus' side with a spear, and blood and water immediately came out. The one who saw this is an eyewitness. What he says is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth so that you too will believe. This happened so that the scripture would come true. None of his bones will be broken. Another scripture passage says, "They will look at the person whom they have stabbed." Later, Joseph from the city of Arimathea asked Pilate to let him remove Jesus' body. Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he was afraid of the Jews. Pilate gave him permission to remove Jesus' body, so Joseph removed it.
Nicodemus, the one who had first come to Jesus at night, went with Joseph and brought 75 pounds of a myrrh and aloe mixture.
The two men took the body of Jesus and bound it with strips of linen. They laced the strips with spices. This was the Jewish custom for burial. A garden was located in the place where Jesus was crucified. In that garden was a new tomb in which no one had yet been placed. Joseph and Nicodemus put Jesus in that tomb, since that day was the Jewish day of preparation and since the tomb was nearby.